Heather McDonald has got the juicy scoop. When you're on the road, when you're on the go, Juicy Scoop is the show to know. She talks Hollywood tales, her real life Mr. Sigmund serial data, and serial sister. You'll be addicted and addicted fast to the number one tabloid real life podcast. Listen in, listen up. Woo, woo. Heather McDonald. Juicy Scoop.
Hello and welcome to Juicy Scoop. I'm very excited about this show. I'm excited for you to listen to it. I've got all the Juicy Scoop on the updates of everything that's going on. And then I've got an exclusive interview inside the world of the Kardashians that is absolutely explosive. And then I have Inside Crime with the new Juicy Scoop favorite, former prosecutor and now 2020 consultant, Matt Murphy. And we're going to talk about Jeffrey Dahmer and the new Netflix show and so much stuff. And Sherry Papini, update on that as well. So here we go. First of all, you guys, this weekend, Chris Frangiola and I are coming to the Neptune Theater this Friday night at Seattle. I just checked with my agent. Don't mean to brag, I have an agent. The very few tickets left. And then we're off to Portland. So please get your tickets. I don't know when I'll be back to either one of these places. This is a topical, exclusive, Juicy Scoop show that can never be repeated, saved just for you, with Chris Frangiola, so you do not want to miss it. That's this weekend. Then I am off to October 15th during BravoCon that evening. Again, very few tickets left. Almost sold out. So great. I've got Carlos King there with all the Bravo scoop, October 15th in New York. And then all your favorites in Vegas, October 22nd. And then, of course, I've got Texas. And then I've got the East Coast in November. HeatherMcDonald.net. Do not miss out. Okay, let me get up to date on the Adam Levine mistress DMing douchebag nightmare. First of all, I want to say to all you Juicy Scoopers that felt the need to tell me that I had my information wrong, the girl on TikTok, literally it popped up 15 minutes before we recorded, okay? So again, this is a podcast, a comedic podcast about pop culture. And it's a topical improv conversation. So when something reminds me of something else, and I go, remember that story about I may not have every frickin' fact, okay? I've got one little girl named Annie working here with one little phone, okay? And we're trying to get this information out to you. Adam Levine, as you know, this girl came forward and she said, I had a relationship with Adam Levine. Here are the DMs to prove it, in which he said, now I realize it was June of this summer that he re-reached out to her. They had their supposed alleged affair, according to her, in 2021, when she was much, much younger and much more naive in 2021. And it's currently 2022. In June of 2022, according to her DMs and what she's claiming, he reached out and said, I'm having my third child with my wife, and who I have two other kids with, who is a Victoria's Secret model. If it's a boy, I'm thinking of naming the boy after you, Sumner, which is totally weird and creepy. Then she went on and did another video and said, I do want to say, you know, I feel badly about it. I didn't know. I realize now I was manipulated, all this stuff. He then heated his own DM and said, I've crossed the line. I never had an affair. But what I talked about with other women on DMs, on Instagram, I apologize for, and we are working together. He and the wife were seen picking up the two kids together at the school, okay? Meanwhile, other people have come forward. This young girl came forward and said that he was writing her, she shows her DMs on TikTok, saying, and where he says, I shouldn't be talking to you. You know this, right? Right? So he knows he shouldn't be talking to her. It's flirty. Again, no proof of him in her bed or anything, but pretty bad. Then another girl comes out. Page Six has been real busy with this. And she's a gorgeous girl, very tattooed, which he's obviously very into his tattoo and very proud to be a California guy. He was a rich kid who grew up in Brentwood. He's very proud of his California roots. Good for him. And so So then this says that this he contacted her. He also sent a video to her. And some of the things that has been revealed from her DMs that have been shared is that, if this is all true, alleged Adam Levine DMs, he writes, "Don't ever apologize for being human." She does a lot of ha ha ha, da da da. And then he says he's flirting with her. Then some of the other things he's like says to her, "That body of yours is absurd. How are you such an hourglass? My God, seriously, fuck." She's like, ha ha. She sends a photo. "I may need to see that booty. Fuck," he says again. Can't control himself. He says it's, you know, he's just flirting with her more. They talk about Mercury in the retrograde. Ha ha. Oh my God, so weird. That shit's crazy. Ha ha. Then he goes on to tell this girl, "I'm having another baby. Wifey's pregnant. And I'm having a boy. And I'm naming him Zay. Z-E-A. He will be a badass." So again, we don't know if they ever got together. I think he's just has a problem with the Instagram. I'm guessing if they go forward as a couple, there's going to be an assistant that just promotes his shows when he's performing, and he can never be on Instagram again. I mean, that's what I would do as the wife. I think wives, like, she might know that he messes around, and it's only bad until the rest of the world knows about it. Now you've humiliated me. Now the world knows we're not this perfect couple. That's what's so annoying. And, like, really, on Instagram? I mean, come on, you guys. And the thirst to then reveal it on TikTok, I get it. You know, it's out of control. Meanwhile, this girl doesn't like the chick. Who's Sumner? She doesn't like Sumner at all. Because this chick who went on TikTok said, "Oh, I dated Sumner's little brother. And during that time, she hired bots to harass me. She said, you know, stay away from my family. And she was awful." So she's not a fan of hers. Also, I heard from Nick Ritchie, who has a new kind of dirty type online something called Facts, okay? And he let me know that, according to Nick Ritchie, that a third party approached him to possibly pay for Sumner's story. Now, remember, Sumner said, "The only reason I'm coming out on TikTok is to tell you that that one of my friends was going to reveal this story to a tabloid, and they were asking me for a response, so I'm going to beat you to the punch and do it myself on TikTok because it was going to be revealed anyway." Well, I don't know if that's entirely true, because according to this story, it was being shopped around for her to be paid to tell the story. So, meanwhile, Gina, the matchmaker who came on my show, her TikTok pops up, and she does a stitch as well to Sumner's and says, "I'm going to say something you guys might be surprised by. I know Sumner. She's a delightful 23-year-old girl. She's a lovely girl that I set up with one of my rich, younger guys. And she was a total delight." Then she goes on to say something kind of interesting, saying, "You guys, don't be so harsh on her. Imagine being 23, which she was at the time of this supposed affair with Adam, and someone like Adam approaches you, pursues you. They're so magnetic. They are, because they have these superpowers that major movie stars and major rock stars have. They have that ability to become a star. And then, so when they shine their light on you, it's just undeniable. And let's just see where you would be when you were approached by that." I think there's a lot of women throughout their lives that are pretty enough and lucky enough to have probably gotten together with very famous married men. Fortunately for the famous married men, there wasn't TikTok at that time. This kind of reminds me of the whole Jesse James thing with Sandra Bullock, one of the greatest Juicy Scoop history stories ever. Not great for Sandra Bullock, but just like mind-blowing, because they were this couple and she was America's sweetheart, beauty queen, and he was this rough around the edges but heart of soul, you know, Long Beach former kind of gang type of guy that really was handy and like could fix motorcycles. I don't know. And he was cheating on her crazy with all these different porn stars, and they'd come to his garage and have sex with him on his couch. And it all came out on In Touch back when you had to actually buy the magazine and read it. These girls didn't have TikToks to make money. These girls didn't have OnlyFans. They had to actually drive to Long Beach to get laid by someone's famous husband. So, you know, all the way through the snow of Long Beach, trekking along to get any kind of receipts that they actually were having contact with a famous person. Now these girls can just lay in bed, DM a couple horny, married, famous people, screen grab it, save it for a rainy day, decide, you know what? I've been stuck at 280,000 followers on TikTok for about 3 months now. Time I bring out that time Adam Levine DM'd me and told me about his son that was coming along the way. I'd like to top it over to 300. Listen, I'm a thirsty bitch. You guys see me, you saw me beg to get to 300 on Instagram. I'm very close to 300 on TikTok. Who do I need to fuck or DM to get to 300,000 on TikTok, people? Also, I'm 8,000 away from YouTube. So looks like someone needs to either approach me or I need to approach someone else and then spill the beans just so I can top my numbers. It's hard out here being a thirsty influencer. Very interesting. And then, of course, Emily Ratajkowski. She's the model who was cheated on by her husband, and she's always got paparazzi taking photos of her. And now she weighs in saying the husband is to blame, but also the other, I don't even know. Everyone's just saying, is it just the husband? Husband is the number one to blame, but also if you're the girl cheating, you should blame, because you can, you know, what I said, you can just Google and know that they're married. There you go. But listen, my prediction is Emily's going to have a podcast. It's coming out. I know it. And it's going to be called Model Behavior. And the first eight episodes will be about cheating, infidelity, getting over it. She's going to have therapists on about it. She's going to have former mistress. She's going to have people that are recovered cheaters. That's what her show is going to be about. Prediction. Ding, ding. Okay. Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, my mind is blown. I'm recording this on Wednesday, so by this time you'll have watched the whole episode. The sneak peek, which is a few minutes long, came out last night, and I am shaking. It is all the women on the private jet leaving Aspen, missing one person, Kathy. And they all are talking in the plane as well as doing their interviews in their beautiful outfits, giving their testimony to what happened that night at the Caribou Club. We now know that, according to Sutton, she said, Kathy wanted to do the conga line, and nobody wanted to do the conga line. And she got very upset by that. And she said, Sutton, if you don't do the conga line with me, then you got to leave with me. And if you don't leave with me, then you're not my friend. And then she said to Kyle, you better leave with me. And Kyle was like, no, I don't want. So then Lisa Rinna offered to take her home. And they leave in the Sprinter van. And that is when Lisa Rinna says she freaked out, said horrible things. And you see Lisa Rinna say this. She was furious and she said, I'm going to take down Bravo. I'm going to take down NBC. Maybe she even threatened about Peacock. I don't know. But she was ready to take down everything. Very upset. And then she went on to say, Kyle has what she has because of me, and I'm going to take down Kyle's family, and really lashing out at Kyle, which now makes sense because we've seen previews before where it's Kyle, Kathy, and Lisa Rinna being the witness to this behavior, kind of being like, I don't understand the anger towards your sister. Have it come out. I've also heard rumors from the reunion that Kyle really takes the fall and protects Kathy because there's a wedding coming up. I think Kyle's daughter's getting married, and she obviously wants all her family and the nieces there. This just goes so deep when it comes to sisters, and I mean, I could talk forever about it. I want to watch the whole episode and think about it more, but I mean, I believe this happened. I truly believe this happened. And I just think Kathy is like probably lashing out, thinking, why the fuck did I go on this show? They've probably been asking her from day one. I know it. They've been asking her from day one when they got Kyle and Kim. They wanted the three of them. But then other people said, no, they only wanted the two of them because they felt the three would be too much of them. Now, I told you the three of them were trying to get their own show. So whether Kathy was never asked or Kathy chose to stay behind and then 10 years later was like, you know what? Maybe this will be fun. I have a new face. My daughter got married. People are loving me. Maybe I'm ready to show my quirky, funny side. But she's also been, you know, married forever, very rich, very entitled, and might also have a temper that her friends and people around her never see. So just because someone was nice to you doesn't mean that they can treat their siblings different. As someone who has a serial sister, I certainly have been lashed out at too many times to count. But other times that can happen and sisters get back together. But you know, they've also had their big breaks and, you know, it's very much whatever happened to Baby Jane and Kathy and Kim really had the more illustrious careers. And maybe they feel Kyle got to like have a more fun, normal childhood. And Kyle is now the biggest star of the three of them. They were so jealous when Kyle sold her show to ABC about their life. And it's just, it's so much, but is what is my favorite part about being a Real Housewives fan is the deep, deep relationships, especially when it involves siblings or sister-in-laws like New Jersey or the Manzos and all of that. It's what it was built on. And it's like, whoo. So good. I got chills from that. Okay, The Bachelorette, I barely watched. It was two girls, a huge mistake. Jesse Palmer, such a boring, awful host. Anyway,
the one girl, Gabby, with her voice like this, she's on Dancing with the Stars, and she's really happy because she did fall in love. There was only one guy left at the end, and they got engaged, and it was really hard, but it was really special.
Anyway, it came out, someone got his yearbook, and he made an unfortunate mistake of going as Jimi Hendrix to a Halloween party in high school, and they got a photo of it, and he is blackface. And she's on Dancing with the Stars, and they're going to grow from it. Oh, my God. Then the other girl, she got a guy, and she was all happy about it, and then while they were engaged and watching the show and being secretive, he went to a bar and ran into a girl that he used to date before he went on the show, and he made out with her and was dumb enough to tell the girl, what's the other girl's name? Gabby and Rachel. He goes on to tell Rachel. So then Rachel has him come over and they go to the Airbnb in LA and we film it. And he has his notebook there. And he says, Rachel, you said you didn't want to wear the ring anymore. You said, if we break up, would I want to be the bachelor? And I said, no. And you were constantly like, it sounds to me that she was kind of a nightmare. And while they were engaged and dating, but had to be separate due to their contracts and watching her date other people, all the insecurities were bubbling up, and actually she was more insecure than he and was probably constantly telling him that she wanted to break up or wasn't sure. And at one point he went to a bar and got drunk and made out with this girl and then told her about it. He wanted to still stay together, but at that point she was like, what? I'm so confused. You're gaslighting me. He's like, I don't. Anyway, they broke up, and at the end her runner-up came up and now she's dating him. You absolutely missed nothing this season. I don't know. I think the show's in trouble. I think it's maybe has run its course. All right, you guys. Remember heathermcdonald.net for all of my dates as well as Patreon. So juicy. And I'm going to put some extra episodes up this weekend to just fill you guys in on what it really is like to be on the road with Justin and Chris. Anyway, so here we go with a very special interview. Hello and welcome to Juicy Scoop. I'm very excited to speak to a hilarious impressionist that I found, the queen of the Kardashians. You've probably seen her on Instagram and TikTok, Yuri Godinez. I'm very excited to have you on here. I came across you for a while and I'm so glad I reached out. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for having me. I am a huge fan of your podcast and your YouTube videos. I love Juicy Scoop. It's amazing. So I'm very honored to be here with you.
You're so sweet. Well, you're absolutely beautiful. You have black hair and big chocolate eyes. So in doing the Kardashians, it's really great because you do all of them and each voice is so different and you really capture their essence. But then you look like them. Like you look like you could be, you know, one of the sisters. So I think that's also what helps sometimes with an impression. If you kind of resemble the person, oftentimes when someone's a really good impressionist too, they just embody them so much that you're like, oh my God, your face sort of changed. So how did you start to do impressions and how did this all begin? Because you're quite the sensation.
Thank you. So I want to say this started about a year ago, March 2021 is when I made my very first Kardashian parody. And before that, I had always been told that I sound like a Valley girl. I never knew what that meant because I'm born and raised here in Florida. I never knew what a Valley girl meant. And I was like, what does that mean? And they say,
I'm a Valley girl.
Yeah. So
I'm a real Valley girl, like born, raised, still here. Yes. So that's so funny. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, I don't know. I've been to California like one time and I would get that a lot. And then through that, I would get a couple of, you know, little people telling me that I kind of sound like the Kardashians. And I love the Kardashians, by the way. Like I've always watched their Keeping Up and now I love their brand new YouTube, their Hulu series. So I just wanted to see if I could actually do it. And I think what I'm really good at is capturing their mannerisms. So when I feel like that's a lot of it. And then once you can get that, the voice kind of just comes with it. And that's how it started. And I was like, oh my God, I think I can actually do this. And then as you saw, I was a hit on TikTok and I kept doing it. And I feel like I'm getting better. And now I study them. Like I almost feel like every time I watch them, I study their mannerisms and their octaves when they go high and low and their tones. And it became like a science to me, but I love them. And that's kind of how it evolved.
You know, I do a lot of impressions too, and everybody does them different. And sometimes someone does it and then people sometimes copy that impression like, oh, I never thought of doing that person or whatever. And it's all great because I feel like everybody does something different or someone really gets the voice down perfectly, but someone else who doesn't do the voice that great can come up with funnier stuff. And I like the way you cut it and have the two girls talking to each other. You know, the sisters like shaking their salads and just having a convo. And I saw that you did get the fancy baccarat, Chris and Kylie beautiful PR kit, which I did not receive. Those days are gone. But how did they discover you and how did you get in their good graces besides doing them so, in a very funny, flattering way?
Thank you. Well, I definitely love the Kardashians. So I'm so grateful that I'm in their good graces. And every time I do a parody, in my opinion, I do not really focus on like things that are very negative or like their actual traumas. You know, I really kind of mimic their like mundane conversations of like, you know, irrelevant things and how it's just dramatized on television for the show. And I think that's how I was able to do it. But I just love them. And this is actually the first PR kit that I got from Kylie Cosmetics. And I've been told, so who was it? I think it was Kim Douglas. Kim Douglas is friends with
I know Kim
Chris
too.
Jenner. Yeah. Oh yeah.
She's great.
Yeah. And I think I'm pretty sure she kind of showed Kris Jenner some of my videos. And someone had told me like on Instagram that they show Scott my videos, Scott Disick, and he thinks I'm really funny. And then it was about two or three Instagram posts, videos of parodies. Khloe Kardashian actually commented on them. So I think she really like kind of brought me into like their chat or whatever. And then Kim has reposted one of my videos and Courtney has also reposted one of my videos. So I think I don't really know exactly when they found out about me, but I think that they are really good at, you know, they're lighthearted jokes and they take it very well. And I love that.
Yeah. I mean, I always said that in the early days of Chelsea, like they just were always so down for like when we would do impressions and parodies of them and everything. And so, and I even think more than ever, they're like in on the joke now and are like, you know, who cares? So let's get into it. So I have some questions for all the girls in which you're going to answer them. If I had the opportunity to interview all, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of, that's the five girls and the mama, Chris. Mm-hmm. So here we go. We're going to start out. Let's start out with Courtney first, because a lot of people are talking about this. I am here with Courtney Kardashian. Courtney, thank you so much for coming on the show. I think everybody just wants to know after your latest post, are you pregnant?
No, I'm not. Yeah.
So the Lemmy gummies, are there any prenatal Lemmy gummies that you are hawking to get people to maybe get pregnant or get yourself pregnant?
I really think that there's some science that will develop and it'll be just gluten-free. So stay tuned.
I love that. And I also love that you're such a caring mother about your kids' health. And you recently did an interview where you revealed that poor Mason has not been able to have French fries for a year. How do you see the future of his fry ordering happening?
Yeah. There's fries that aren't filled with disgusting chemicals. And Mason can indulge in a sugar-free, gluten-free, taste-free sweet potato. Yeah.
I love that. My favorite fries are sweet potato fries. I don't know why we only discovered them like 8 years ago. So good for you.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I'm so happy that Kim's in the room. I have some questions for Kim. Oh, my girl, Kimmy. What a couple weeks you've had with your ex-co-parenting delight, Kanye. How do you feel about the whole school? Are you going to take them out of their present school and put them into Donda University or what?
You know, I think Kanye is very driven. But I don't really know if that's something for my kids, but it's a conversation. Yeah.
I love that. I think you guys are really making some strides. Now, how is the law school going? I know you passed the baby bar, but now I don't even know how you have time to make the flashcards. What's happening?
Yeah. So I passed my baby bar, everyone. And, you know, I'm about 2 more years left, so I really think in about 7 or 8 years, I'll be right there with the lawyers and the doctors.
Oh.
Yeah.
Speaking of lawyers and doctors, you're recently, I think, on James Corden, looking very svelte, very skinny. I like the new bodies you guys are doing. But who are you going to date now? You've done the Pete Davidson thing. You've done the skinny tattooed guy. You've done the rapper. You've done the professional football player. You've done, your first husband was also into music. So who do you see yourself dating next, Kim?
You know, I really think I want to get into the NASA and the astronauts. And the really geeky science, you know, science freaks, I think it'll be really cool. And I'm just DTF.
Oh my gosh, Kim, I actually really love that because that is a whole area that nobody's touched upon in your family. As far as significant others are people from space, would you ever consider like a full-blown different species, like an alien type of person? Because obviously we're eventually going to have to, you know, you guys are probably going to start building a community on Mars, I'm sure, like a cute cul-de-sac for all the Ks. So would that, are you open to someone that's not human?
You know, I would really be down for that. And I'm really excited about Mars. I think we can find some anti-aging supplements or things there. Yeah.
So great. I see that Chloe just came in from HealthNet. Hi, Chloe.
Hi, doll.
I feel like Chloe, no offense to you, Chloe, but I always just feel like you really have a lot of opinions about your sisters and you really don't share that much about yourself. So I'm going to go right to just asking you about your sisters. And how do you feel about Kim's new purchase of her beautiful $70 million Malibu mansion?
I love Kimberly. I think she's great, but she wants to buy Cindy Crawford's old home. That's totally fine, babe. Whatever Kimberly wants, I just want her to be happy, if that makes sense.
It totally makes sense. And you're such a giving sister. I just asked your sister, Kim, about who she wants to date. Who do you think she should date next?
I just want Kim to be happy. So I think the astronaut thing is totally great. Whatever she wants, babe. Totally about her happiness. I'm just here for Kimberly.
And you know, Chloe, you really have one of the most successful businesses of the sisters. Good American. I see it everywhere in Nordstrom. People swear by it. Did it bother you that your sister, Courtney, did a collab with a whole nother clothing company called Boohoo? Was it Boohoo or Boo Boo?
I think it's Boo Boo.
Okay.
I actually have never seen the collection. And whatever Courtney wants to do, it's totally fine. Good American will always be sustainable. And Courtney missed out on a great opportunity.
I totally, totally agree.
Yep.
Oh, your mom, Chris, just came in. Hi, Chris. How are you? You look great.
Hi, doll.
So good to see you. So many people are asking about, obviously, you went on James Corden. You took a lie detector test saying that you did not participate in the sale of the sex tape. We've heard from Ray J. I personally don't really think you orchestrated it. I think maybe there was, you know, some stuff on their part that might have been a little manipulated. But I just want to ask you yourself, like, does it bother you that people still think that you somehow were in the editing bay picking out the best clips of your daughter having sex with Ray J?
Absolutely. I cannot imagine as the mother that somebody could do that. It's just insane, doll. I have no idea how this happened. And I really have no idea what's going on.
I know. That makes so much sense because you never really know what's going on in your daughter's lives. But so what is your plan to deal with Ray J? He's really turned out to be not the delightful ex-boyfriend we all thought he was.
Not really. You know, we thought he was a team player. And now he just wants to play on a different team. Like, that's not part of the contract. So we might have to just sue.
Hey.
What do you think?
I mean, I think it's definitely a violation. I would never include him in another Christmas party again. For sure, Chris. You don't need
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
And there's so many other nicer ex-boyfriends floating around that you can still include in your life. So I say, yeah, dump that. Not nice.
I can only handle one Scott Disick in my life.
And you're such a great ex-mother-in-law to Scott Disick and Lamar, everybody. You are the greatest ex-mother-in-law to all these boys. And I have always said that. Is that something that you really take pride in?
Absolutely. I am a manager, but I am a mother first, always to all. As long as it's 10%, I'm the mother.
Absolutely. Now, Chris, I'm here talking to your favorite daughter, Kylie. And I know why she's the favorite. It's because she is the richest. And I think that's completely fair. Any mother that has numerous children, their favorite is the richest. So, and you and Kylie just, you know, did your great collab, which I love. But Kylie, I need to ask you. Hi, I love your new collab. It's so beautiful, the packaging.
Thank you. I love it.
And we love seeing Stormy. But when will we ever find out what your son's name is?
We still are deciding on a name.
Okay.
So we call him like different things, like a million or a billion.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah. And one day, maybe, we'll decide on a name.
I thought maybe it would come out like, you know, like for the Hulu second season premiere or something, like that you maybe work a PR move about it. But now at this point, I'm going to guess that maybe you're going to wait to announce the name once you do a makeup collab with your own son. Is that something you guys are working on?
Ooh, that would be amazing. I love that idea, Heather.
Do you have any upcoming collabs with people in the future?
I do. My next one is with Stormy. I love her. Yeah.
Yeah, Stormy does have such a vibe. I mean, she really is. I think she might be. I mean, I think she might be the cutest one, but you didn't hear me say that. What is Stormy's next birthday party theme going to be? Because you throw the most epic parties for her.
She's really into makeup right now.
Shocking. Yeah.
She's only six, but it's time already. So more like a Kylie Cosmetics party. Ooh. With cocktails. Ooh.
Yeah, with like baby cocktails and adult cocktails and a lot of makeup, baby makeup and adult makeup. I like it. I don't know why more parents aren't doing that, quite honestly. Probably a lot of balloons too, I'm assuming. I love it. Yay. And Kendall. Hello, Kendall. Gosh, sometimes I feel we don't talk to you enough. But how are you doing, Kendall?
I'm good. I'm doing so good. I'm actually doing actually doing amazing, like so good. Like I probably never felt better. I'm probably doing better than everybody else. Like that's how good I'm feeling.
Oh my gosh, that's great to hear. I mean, you two are the entrepreneur. You, along with 20 or 47 other celebrities, have your own tequila, 818, which is very dear to my heart because I'm a born and raised 818er, just like you, Kendall, till we die. And recently, you got a lot of free press out of the drama that's happening over on Beverly Hills. They all went to Aspen. And Lisa Rinna referred to you as her friend. And she said, let me try some of my friend Kendall Jenner's 818 tequila, which really pissed off Kathy Hilton. How long have you and Lisa Rinna been friends for?
Well, you know, we talk all the time on DMs. I've never really actually met her. I probably don't know exactly what she looks like. but I think I've heard the name.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure she's been in my DMs, maybe mainly a more one-sided conversation, but I'm really not sure. I'm so busy traveling the world, you know, doing modeling stuff. You know, if she says she's my friend, I totally believe her. I think she's a great person. Her name sounds great. And yeah, I think she's probably a good person. If that's what she says, I will totally believe, you know, just whatever she says.
Well, I just realized that her daughter, Amelia, dated your former brother-in-law, even though they were never married, Scott Disick. Do you remember that when Scott Disick was dating Amelia Gray?
How old is she?
She's 20, so they broke up like a couple months ago.
I might remember that. I might remember that she was a very nice girl and she's very sweet. I might have.
Anyway, Lisa Rinna, I freaking love that tequila, girl. No, she, your tequila's great. I mean, I still have to try it, Kendall, but I will try it. And who are you dating now? I can't keep track. Aren't you with a basketball player or something?
Yeah, and I love basketball. Something that people really don't know about me is that I love sports. It's like I watch sports all the time. I can't remember which basketball team he's on. I really can't remember his number or any of his teammates' players' numbers. I really don't remember where he plays or who he plays for, but I love basketball. I watch it all the time. Like me and my friends, we spend a Friday night and we open up my big screen movie theater just to watch the game, you know, crack open some beers. I don't know the name of any beers right now, but and also 818, you know, and 818 is amazing. It's probably one of the best, most authentic, most genuine tequilas out there. There's nothing in the world that tastes like it. It probably genuinely, no, actually, it's probably the best.
Yeah, well, in the words of Lisa Rinna, she said, "Ooh, oof, sweet. It's real sweet. It's a sweeter tequila. I like that." Ooh.
Yeah, it might be kind of sweet too. Like, I don't know. I've never really tried it myself, but I definitely think it's the best thing out there.
Gosh, you are a great spokesperson, and you're such like a guy's girl. Like I can tell you loving sports and stuff. You're just like such a casual, down to earth girl.
I'm probably the most literally like actually relatable person out here.
Yeah,
I love just the simple things, a chill day, you know, in my Maserati or in my G-Wagon.
Yeah,
just
totally.
You know, reading a book that I probably
while you drive
and buy. Yeah, while I'm driving, and I get driven to places too, you know, when I don't feel like driving. That and, you know, reading a book that probably was sent to me in the mail, you know, just to read. And
wow,
wearing my $2,000 Balenciaga jeans, it's extremely relatable. Like I love the simple things.
Totally. Totally. I love that about you. Well, I'm so excited about your family and when does the Hulu show come out this week?
I can't really remember. I would ask my mom because I'm out, you know, probably just watching, you know, just doing chill, fun stuff. I want to say it's September 22nd exclusively on Hulu.
Well, why don't we just bring Chris back to end this and she can give us all the details. Can you just get your mom real quick?
Okay.
Hey, hi, doll. Chris. Hi, Chris. Can you just tell all the Juicy Scoopers when they can watch the show?
Oh, my gosh. Yes. We are going to be exclusively on Hulu. Everybody cancel their Netflix account because they're going down, sweeties. And it's going to be on Hulu on September 22nd, 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 12 a.m. the next day, Eastern Standard Time, babe.
I love it. I love it. So good, girl. Now we're back to the original. Oh my gosh.
Thank you.
That was so fun. I love doing improvs. I knew you'd kill it. Really great. I'm glad that you.
You're so funny, too. Like, I'm going to take some of your jokes. They're the best.
Well, I love the Kardashians, too. I talk a lot about them, you know, whenever they're in the news. I like that they are just an interesting bunch of people. And I love that they love your talent. I think that's great. So tell everybody where they can follow you so they can enjoy every time you put out new stuff.
Absolutely. So you can follow me on TikTok. It's at Yuri La Más Bella. And I go on live almost every day there on TikTok. I think I engage with my audience and my followers so much on TikTok. And I also have the same handles for Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. It's Yuri La Más Bella. Go ahead and follow me there. There's tons of new content coming out, especially for the season. I get inspired every single day by the Kardashians. So stay tuned for all the new content. And thank you so much for having me. You're so funny. I love Juicy Scoop. I love everything you're doing. Like, it's amazing.
Well,
and you're so pretty.
Thank you. And good luck. I really appreciate you coming on. I'm excited to be following you and just enjoy you so much. And you're a young mother too, right? You have a little child?
My son's a year.
He's so
I'm
cute.
A new mom.
Once in a while, he gets featured a little bit as a like a baby cast member, which I love. I love that you have access to a baby.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so cute. Take care. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Have a good one.
So now for my return favorite, Matt Murphy. I asked him some really juicy questions about Cherry Papini and Jeffrey Dahmer and Dirty John. So let's get into it. Hello and welcome to Juicy Scoop. I have return guest, Matt Murphy. How are you? Prosecutor, 2020 delight, consultant. What's your other show? Fatal Flaw, soon to be author. How has your life changed since you made your appearance on Juicy Scoop a couple months ago?
That was actually a lot of fun. I doubled my Instagram following. So you are very popular.
And, Thank you.
A lot of really nice comments, although there was somebody that weighed in and was like, that guy talks way too much. So
there are a couple of people always. Yeah. There's a couple of people that watch my show every week that hate me. It just happens. I don't know what to tell you.
Internet's it's ruthless. It's a hard place, but 99% of the comments were actually very, very
99%
positive,
so. Are always nice.
Yeah.
We're going to get into a bunch of juicy topics, but I wanted to get your thoughts as a prosecutor. How do you feel about the whole Cherry Papini story? My audience is very up on everything. I'm obsessed with anyone faking a crime for attention. She just got 18 months. What are your thoughts on it?
Well, it's awful, right? And I think 18 months is just about right. I was worried that she wasn't going to do any time. And this is one of those things, the amount of resources that she wasted. You know, the sheriff's department in her county actually did a phenomenal job of tracking the whole thing down. But her story when she showed up, and of course it's this ex-boyfriend that she goes and hangs out with in Huntington Beach.
Right.
But they came and they tried to throw shade on the sheriff's department, who had done everything right.
You mean her defense team?
Yes, her defense team. And that was, I thought that was a
How are they throwing
mistake.
Shade on them?
Oh, there was something like, you know, the sheriffs should have, you know, if they'd put this together faster, maybe the resources wouldn't have been wasted. It was some sort of comment like that.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And so, her lead counsel, I was actually impressed with the job he did. And she could have done more than 18 months, certainly. So, but it's just, it is a horrific waste of resources. It's narcissism on the highest level, and this is a woman that that absolutely deserves to take that hit. And I think that that 18 months in prison is well deserved.
What I'm dying to know, and I don't know that we'll ever know, but I'm hoping we will, is for the husband to do the tell all, her husband, because it's like, were you thinking for the 18 days that she was missing? I mean, your wife's kidnapped for 18 days. I pretty much would be like, she's dead. I mean, I don't know. You have two little kids and you're trying to tell them not that their mom is dead, but like, oh, mommy's gone. How are you supposed to tell a 2 and 4-year-old that? And in any of that, did he know that she's kind of wacky? And did he ever think, could this be some weird trick that she pulled? Or was he, you know, not up until 7 months ago thinking this whole time she was kidnapped? And then, like, what did she tell? Like, I was talking about it on the other show, and I was like, did she say that she was actually being sex trafficked by the two Latino women, or she was just trapped and being left with very little to eat. Like, what was her story?
You mean like when she
came home? Yeah, like, what was she telling the cops? What was she telling her husband? I know the cops were always, like, very suspicious from the start, and that's why we never heard. But they did do that one interview. The husband did the one interview where he was like, it's disgusting that people don't believe her, and you should have seen her. And they were like, be prepared because her hair is all chopped up, and she's very thin, and... So at that time, because right from the start, people doubted her. People that knew her from high school and stuff were like coming on the internet. But I heard the husband and I was like, God, people do get, you know, I always think of the poor girl, the Mormon girl that was kidnapped by the Elizabeth guy that did handiwork. Yeah. What was her name?
Elizabeth Smart.
Right, yeah. And there were times that people thought the dad did it and da da da. And she really was just kidnapped by like a, pretty much of a stranger, you know, like. And so I was like, God, you know, this stuff does happen.
Right.
And then, but I mean, when it all cracked, it was one of those days, there's just certain news that like gets me like tingly with excitement that I was like, oh my God, it was all bullshit. She is an attention whore.
Yeah. Now what's interesting about that, so ABC had me study up on that and I did some Good Morning America work on that. When you look at him in the whole true crime concept, okay.
When you look at who, the husband or the boyfriend?
Look at the husband. Okay, so you watch his interview, and that's what's sort of, and nobody got hurt on this, right? So it's, that's why it can be sort of a fun thing to talk about. Like, look at this crazy woman who did this. So this poor sad sap is married to this woman, has kids with her. He thinks she's dead. And he, and when you look at forensic science and, you know, all the advancements that we've made, the most important thing that we still have in figuring out what happened is that gumshoe gut that you were talking about. Like, and everybody has that. And that's, you can watch that video of that husband and figure that out for yourself. Like, and I think he was a total innocent. I don't think, and I think she walked in the door and cried, and he thinks that his wife is dead.
Yeah.
He is probably going through the, and that's the worst thing anybody can go through, right?
Right.
Somebody you love has been murdered, kidnapped and murdered. It is the worst thing. And now he's got kids that he's got to explain it to. And meanwhile, what's really happening is she's banging her ex-boyfriend in Huntington Beach.
Well, now, is she banging him or not? Because he said, he was kind of a sad sack, sorry. Not some like hot Facebook love that like you re-hooked up with. He was just kind of an average dude. Mm-hmm. Average money, average job, not rich at all. And he said that they didn't, but then there was DNA on her underwear of his, but it wasn't like sperm DNA. What is your knowledge of that?
Well, I know that when she was, you know, the emails ahead of time, it was basically like, I'm going to leave my husband and go with you, right? That was, so there was definitely a romantic element to it. And maybe they didn't. I don't know. He could be another victim, but I mean, that's kind of weird. It's like she shows up and, you know, is burning herself in his house or whatever she's doing.
But I think, okay, if we think that they weren't boning, which I honestly think she could be such a manipulator.
Could be.
That she kind of pursued a guy that sort was kind of dumb. Like, he didn't have, you know, he wasn't a doctor. He had, like, kind of just an average job.
Yeah.
And she came and was like, remember us? And there was some information where he was sending information back and forth of their time together. And then I think she sort of said, we're going to do this plan. I think he just got kind of wrapped into it and pretty much cooperated right from the start once he was kind of caught. So that shows he's like kind of a good person, you know? And then he said, like, I would come home and like she wasn't eating much. And then all of a sudden her hair's chopped and then she sends me to Hobby Lobby. And I'm like, it was so, I mean, it was so crazy. But it's like, yeah, I think that in her weird world of being like this pretty girl, you know, sometimes pretty people can be really fucked up because
take it from me. Yes.
You are a pretty person.
No. I've dated, I think, every crazy pretty woman in all of Los Angeles.
Dr. Drew talks about it. It's like a whole nother thing that hasn't, I think this could be a really interesting thing to explore, like the pretty privilege that can happen. And for some people, they appreciate it and they use it and they don't abuse it. And then other people, things come so easy to them that then. And then they, like, get angry that, like, oh, you only liked me because I was pretty. And in their brain, they see things in a different, like, worldview. And they can immediately charm people so easily because they literally do have charming eyes and a charming smile. And what talk about the pretty privilege.
Well, you've ever seen that, the Hot Crazy Matrix? You ever seen that on YouTube?
It's
a
what
police
is it?
Officer. Oh my gosh, that's great. It's like he has this whole like he's got this graph where it's like
okay.
The hotter she is, the crazier she is. You
okay.
Know? And all right. And you know, and if she is like if she's rational and smart and nice and beautiful, capture her for science because that's a unicorn. Does
okay,
not exist.
Yeah.
Like it's really funny. I'm not doing it justice at all.
Okay.
It's the hot crazy matrix.
Okay.
Yeah, you can YouTube it.
But as a prosecutor, when you talk about that, what is your – when you're saying, oh, I understand, like what's your – give me some examples or explain it more.
Well, I can tell you – I mean, for one thing, when you're selecting a jury, you got to be very careful about – like the closer you get from a prosecution standpoint to people that live in the real world, the better you're going to be. Like you want people that are blue collar or on the edge of blue collar. Like nurses are great. Because they're that's reality,
and they also see all kinds of people.
They see all kinds of people. Mm-hmm. Funny enough, you wouldn't think so because a lot of them start out as kind of your, you know, liberal, whatever that means. Social workers,
yeah,
you know, like they start out wanting to save the world. The older social workers have been in every dirty house, and there's no fooling them on anything because they've seen it all. You know,
right.
So when it comes to beautiful people, men or women, who have a lot of money. And for Orange County, it's always Newport. That was the
yeah.
– like a beautiful woman from Newport who didn't work was the most likely to indulge the craziest defense theory, you know. And I hope I'm not offending anybody by saying this, but it's true. Those are the problem jurors. Like forget about
– Wait,
like,
they – okay, wait. You mean you don't want that person
–
a defense attorney wants that person
yes.
though, but a prosecutor doesn't
no.
because that girl will believe that – the crazy defense
As,
theory.
The farther disconnected they are from the actual world.
Oh, got it.
The
okay.
more likely, like if they read a lot and they're rich and they're super hot, you know, you've got to. When I was coming through training, there's this guy Chris Evans who is a genius. He was like Yoda. This guy, and he would, he came in and he's like, look, you're. As young guys, he pulled like me and three or four other of the men of our crew that in our training class aside. And he goes, look, you're going to have beautiful women that are going to be sitting on your jury. And he goes, and the defense lawyer is going to come over, the older guys, and they're going to elbow you and go, I'm going to be mad at you if you kick juror number six. Ha, ha, ha. Like, hey, you know what I mean? Like, let's look at her. He goes, what they're really doing is that is a defense juror.
Oh, my
and
God.
And they know it. And you got to be really careful about that. And you can be a beautiful woman. I mean, we see this all the time. Beautiful woman who has an actual job in the world and like
right.
exists and understands people. He's like, if they're rich and they're hot, be very, very careful. And I got that. That was probably my third day in training.
If they're rich and
DA's
hot,
office.
But they don't have a career.
Right.
Got
because
it.
That sort of privilege.
Because
like,
it was given it to them. Either they're born into it or they married it or both.
I dated somebody who's famous who I won't say who it is, but she was like reality show famous. This is 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And when she went to the White House, she got to meet the president. Like that's, you know, like that's the type
yeah.
of thing. That's like hot chick privilege, right? You go,
yeah.
you go places and, you know, Secret Service agent saw her, pulled her out of her tour and was like, you want to meet the president? And like, that's that
yeah.
world. I mean, that's
yeah.
like, and I think if you go through life like that and you're not working and she, that didn't apply to her. Like she was actually very intelligent. She was an attorney. Not that that makes her smart, but she was, you know, you hear stories like that and you just a few of those ingredients with wealth and the privilege and the disconnection from that, like give me an emergency room nurse 10 out of 10 times and she'll figure it out. Even if you're wrong as the prosecutor, they'll figure it out. Like if you're right,
they'll
you charge
right.
the right guy. She's
they'll
gonna,
get it right.
That
no
woman
who
will
wins,
get it right.
Yeah.
Or that man who's a nurse or like blue collar, you know, woman with a Popeye tattoo on her arm, she's going to get it right. You know, she's – those are the best jurors, like the people
yeah.
that are connected to reality. So – but yeah, this woman, Sherry Papini, 18 months to sit and stew. I think that's
well,
I think
you know,
awesome.
I did a podcast on a case a long time ago, and it was one of my favorite Datelines. It was called The Secrets of Silver Lake. And it was – I don't know if it's Keith Morrison or not, but it was one of my favorites. And it was this area like where they built these houses around this like lake, kind of like in like somewhere like inland San Diego. I don't know. So it's kind of blue collar, but like young people. Do you know the story?
No.
So this guy and this girl got married and got together quite young. She didn't, you know, and then they had a couple kids and Then he worked on these like railroad things and he was kind of hot. And anyway, he was found killed. He's like shot one day working. And turned out she had this affair with this guy who was a young fireman. She was selling, she's not selling, but she was doing the Costco samples. But he was a rookie, so he'd have to go to Costco all the time to get all the food for the firemen. And so they started having an affair, but then they like broke up and whatever. Anyway, he was caught. He definitely killed him. So then the whole thing was she in on it? Mm-hmm. And I was fascinated by the story, and it was like, you know, she was calling her husband before. It was the day before school started, and she was calling him before. Hey, babe, made you that lasagna. You're coming, you know. And I always say about those voicemail messages that go to the phone, and then the person knew no one's ever going to respond. But like, oh, once they hear these messages, I'm going to sound like such a sweet, loving wife. Anyway, she went through the whole thing, and she was really pretty, pretty blonde girl. And so I was obsessed with it. And then it turned out that my sister's friend was her defense attorney. So I had her come on the show, and she was trying to do like an appeal. It didn't work out. She's still trying to appeal it. She got convicted.
She did get convicted. Yeah.
But I honestly really think she's innocent for a couple reasons. One is, I don't think you'd plan the murder of your husband the day before the school year starts. Just as a mom. Hmm. I just don't think you would do
that. There's too much work to do.
There's too much that would throw it off. I think you would be like, if you were really going to do it, you'd be like, can you do it like July 5th? Give us 6 weeks. That was one thing. And the other part was, she, I believe, was extremely low IQ, maybe special needs, but undiagnosed because she was pretty.
Interesting.
Like, she didn't finish high school. And then I talked to some of her. So then when I did this thing, some of her relatives were like, called me and was like, thank you. And we're trying, you know, she really didn't know what this guy was doing. And they were like swingers. So almost like the husband kind of knew about it and the relationship was broken. It was such a juicy story. And but when you watch the Dateline on it, you were totally convinced she was this hussy that was involved. Mm. But I was like, I think sometimes people think that too about a pretty girl, that she couldn't be like special needs. Mm-hmm. She's just a pretty blonde who's super sexual and manipulative. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and Keith Morrison says it. I pretty much believe whatever comes out of his mouth.
Well,
that voice. He's the world's nicest guy, by the way. He's really cool.
I think that, like, if I was the, and I told the cousin or whatever when I was on the phone, I go, I think if you have another chance of any kind of appeal, I think that she should be seen by someone that's going to really test her intelligence, because that's always a defense that's used for men, that they're like, oh my God, he had an IQ of whatever. And I don't think people think to like test these women's IQ.
So she went down for first degree murder?
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah.
And she's still
financial gain or?
No, not really. No. Okay. And she always said like she didn't know. And they had these phone calls taped, but like if you would have listened to it on the defense side, it could, and if you're going on the defense side knowing that she was like really kind of dumb, like then you would believe that she was like, oh, okay. Oh, no. You know, because he'd be like, are they asking anything yet? And she'd be like, no, no one's asking anything yet. But then for the prosecutor side, it looked like, oh, good. No, they haven't asked anything yet. Like it could all be, it was, but she was a pretty person. So going back to the Sherry Papini, I just can't imagine, like, her parents. I mean, I just had my son not answer his phone in his dorm from 9 until 2 a.m. We were pinging it because it showed it was in his dorm, and we were pinging it, and he still wasn't waking up. Mm-hmm. I mean, from 9 to, I had to like.
You're frantic.
I was like, I don't even think I can sleep.
Yeah.
And so I can't imagine going through something like that for, I think, how many weeks was she gone? I want to say like 5 weeks or something.
Yeah, something like that. And then, and what was the deal ultimately? It was that she was bored with her life, or what do you think?
Her reason was, I think she was one of those girls that then convinced the guy that the husband is awful. Hmm. And yeah, I want to know more about what she really told and then what happened after. And like, I would love to see the movie or the like the interview of like when the husband, like that dramatic moment of the movie where all of a sudden the husband like sees some type of clue or she says or does something where he's like,
talk about
wait a minute.
Just a cringy moment, right?
Yeah, like wait a minute.
I feel sorry for him, I really do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
And I guess she's living with his sister. So like the family, surrounding family still somehow has sympathy for her. Yeah. And probably because she's pretty.
Yeah, I think that.
I don't know.
You know, my first couple of weeks, I had a guy that ran out into traffic. He was a little doper. I can't remember if we talked about this last time. But so basically, we get into I'm looking at the guys who chased him. So it's a dope motel. He's like early 20s, and he's a little druggy, and he rips off another drug dealer or whatever, and he runs out onto Harbor Boulevard and gets run over. Okay, and he gets killed. So I'm looking at the other guys, and I went into my boss Lou Rosenblum's office. And he was so wise, right? Like I had an actual mentor. And he said, sympathy. And I said, I feel really bad for this guy, you know. And we're not going to be able to charge any of these other guys because who's going to foresee that he's going to run out into traffic, right? And I said, I feel really bad. He goes, you know what? And this was my first week maybe in the homicide unit. And he goes, sympathy is like money in a bank. He goes, you only have so much and you need to be very careful who you make a withdrawal for. And he said, you're going to be dealing with cases involving little kids and people that are totally innocent. And if you take a sympathy withdrawal for that guy, you're going to burn out in 2 years.
And oh, my God.
That's some of the best advice I ever got.
I do think about people in your work and police officers and all of that. You know, so different from the way I live my daily life. I'm just like watching Housewives and making jokes. Like, I don't know. I think you really – it's amazing. And I think that's why sometimes people – compartmentalize or have a hard time with their personal life or whatever, because it is such a mental mind screw, I can imagine.
Yeah. Well, you know what's funny about that is it's not even the – when you're working those cases, you get used to the stuff you see pretty quickly. And, I mean, you see a lot. You see – for me, maggots were something that always kind of got me, but – and the autopsies are tough. But
maggots that get into the dead bodies?
Yes. Mean? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Especially – I mean
– and you have to see it in person or
– Yes, in person. Yeah,
because you discover the body. They discover the body and then they call you?
I would go to each crime scene. Okay. And then you also attend the postmortems or the autopsies.
Okay.
And so, yeah, you wind up encountering quite a few, like, decomp cases is what they're called. So mm-hmm. if somebody hasn't been found for a while or somebody's found in a field or a ditch, there's always something like that going on. And that – it's gross, but the real stress comes from seeing it and understanding the responsibility that you have as a prosecutor to the families.
Yeah.
So the families that – because you, basically it goes crime scene, autopsy, family meeting. And that would be the order. And I would always give my personal cell phone out to the families. I can't remember if we talked about that last time.
Yeah.
But I never regretted doing that, just to let them know that somebody cares. But,
yeah.
But when you're there with the crying mom, the stress comes from, if I screw this up, you know, this family is going to be denied justice, as corny as that sounds.
Like, you know, I'm going to go back to something else, a little lighter, juicier. Talking about jury people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm friends with Leah Black, who is the wife of Roy Black, and she actually was in a jury of a case that he tried.
Oh, is that how they met?
He was the defense attorney for one of the Kennedys, some Palm mm-hmm. Beach rape case. Mm-hmm. He prevailed. They won. But they met a year later.
Hmm.
And then she was like, I was actually on your jury. And, you know, the story at first until I asked her was more like, oh, my God. Like, is that – so has that ever happened, or have you ever had a jury come up to you like later at a bar, like 2 years ago I was in your jury or anything
right.
like that? Because it is like you're on stage and people are staring yeah. at you for weeks on end.
I've had that happen. I had a very – like sort of strict line on that. I didn't ever want to cross that. Now, Lou married a juror on one of his cases, who wound up becoming my dentist. And she was wonderful, and they had a kid together. And like,
okay, so but she was how great. Long did they start to date after the case was done?
Pretty soon after.
So
I
who
think.
Pursued who?
You know, I think somebody they knew somebody in common.
Oh,
and then they hooked them up. They hooked them up afterwards. And,
okay.
But that wound up being a really successful marriage. They were happily married. She passed away a few years ago of ovarian cancer. But I never wanted to do that. I mean, for the first 23 or 24 years of my career, I didn't date anybody in the office. I didn't date any court clerks, court reporters. I just – no defense lawyers. I tried to stay, you know, like yeah. professional and personal life as you know, far apart as possible.
Right,
and then,
right.
Yeah. And then, yeah.
Well, so, I mean, between this and the Jussie Smollett, do you think this is going, there's going to be more of this happening or less?
Well, the problem, that's really the problem for the disservice she did to real victims. Everywhere.
Yeah.
It's like whenever anybody fakes something, they inject suspicion into the minds of the future jurors on legitimate cases that wouldn't have been there otherwise. And that's the real – it's a waste of resources, but it, also that's the real crime, right?
Yeah, because, I mean, this was the Gone Girl.
Right.
People like, oh, it's Gone Girl. And then I know that has been a defense for defense attorneys when some right. guy's wife is really gone.
Right.
Is she doing the Gone Girl thing? And there was that case I think the guy ended up killing himself. There was a case of a mom of five. She had five kids, and she's going through this horrible divorce on the East Coast with her Greek-born husband. And
oh, right.
she
yeah,
went
yeah.
missing. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if they ever found her body, but they had enough to finally arrest him, and then he killed himself in the garage.
Right.
And but the defense that they were gearing up for was that she was a writer, and at one time, before Gone Girl ever even came out, yep. she had come up with kind of a story like that, a fake kidnapping thing to get attention or to screw over her husband.
Right. Well, and, it's like Duke LaCrosse or that that Rolling Stone article about the fraternity. Remember that, where
yeah.
the woman completely made everything up?
Oh, it the is, Duke – to remind people what that
the
was.
The Duke LaCrosse team hired strippers for some party, and there was a financial dispute. So one of the strippers accused them of sexual assault, and the local prosecutor filed rape charges against all these innocent kids.
Right.
Which is like – that's
and they all lost
a poor outcome.
Yeah.
And yeah, and they got dragged through it, and it turns out they were totally innocent. And mm-hmm. I think they disbarred that DA at the
yeah.
end of it. But that's – and then there was a Rolling Stone article with a woman who claimed she was raped in a fraternity, and it was – the whole thing was made up. And so the problem is like – and this is
yeah.
a perfect example of the same thing. These things get so much media attention, and it's fascinating every time, and it's worth talking about. It's important to talk about. But in the minds of jurors, you know, when the totally legitimate victim who did nothing wrong is
right.
like same objective circumstances and really is like assaulted, there's that doubt that they walk in with as a result of people like Sherry Papini.
Well, there was this case, and it was definitely in California. I don't remember where this cute couple were like, you know, living together. And this guy came in with like this laser thing and like kidnapped her and took her to like this cabin that he had.
Right.
And people were thinking that it was, you know, they're doing it for
right.
attention and all this other stuff. And 100% it was true, and it was one of those weird psycho guys that were like, I just wanted to see if I could do it.
We did a 2020 on that.
Oh, okay.
I researched that.
Tell that
thing.
Story.
So essentially it was a psycho dude who had done this multiple times before, and he went to a podunk – sorry, but they deserve the term – podunk police department in Central California.
Oh, he chose the victim based on the police department?
No. But it just happened to be.
Oh, okay.
And they immediately suspected the husband, and they brought the husband in and they grilled him. And it was like they had suspect focus right at the very beginning. They made up their minds subjectively that it was him. They treated the husband horribly.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out she really was kidnapped. And it was – and the way – the guy broke into their home and – pretended to be multiple people, and he had like a laser, and it made it look like it was a laser on a weapon, and it was turns out it was just like a pointer, and it was I think it was on a BB gun.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was the whole thing was so insane. It was unbelievable. And when the husband described everything that actually happened, the cops were like, "Wait, what?" And it didn't make sense. They immediately suspected him, and it turns out it was all real.
Mm-hmm.
And she had been kidnapped and raped and held captive for a period of time, and it was just the most.
And then he dropped her off, like kind of similar yes. to the sheriff Sherry Papino. She probably
similar.
Was familiar with the story. Dropped her off like a couple blocks from her house,
yep.
so that she could like make it home. And it's like, oh, isn't that nice and convenient?
Right.
You know.
So, but he had transported her to a different jurisdiction. So there was the police department that was working on the abduction. And then there was a separate one that became involved that did everything right. And the detective in 30 seconds found that this guy had been involved in very similar things with a laser, before. And I mean, you call it a unique MO or modus operandi, right? Like that is, it's so close. It's a signature. It's a psycho that's developing his technique to do these rapes. And in zero time flat, the other police department put the whole thing together and essentially exonerated the husband. But it was incredibly ham-fisted the way the detectives in that handled it. And look, I think that police 95% of the time get it right, and they work really hard, and they're really dedicated men and women. They're trying to catch the bad guy. But there are those times where they really do screw up, and that case was one of those times. And
yeah.
It was just seeing that the way that poor guy was treated. And I think they sued, and I'm sure they got some money back.
No, I definitely do, because then there was a big follow-up. All right, Netflix, September 21st, Dahmer, Monster, the Jeffrey Dahmer story.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to watch this. This is like the trailer looks so scary. And you, when we talked last, you were like, I have some info on serial killers and it's not what you think. And
right. So I did a bunch of them. I did the Golden State Killer case. I did the dating game killer, Rodney Alcala, who represented himself, a guy named Andrew Urdialis. And then, every serial rapist is basically the same guy that just doesn't kill. And we're talking about the psychopath, and anybody who's watched Silence of the Lambs, including me, we get this idea of the Buffalo Bill character,
right.
Like it puts the lotion in the basket, that whole thing. And we have this image of serial killers being victims of horrible abuse. And in my experience, and it's limited, I mean, I probably worked on a dozen of these. And so it's not a scientifically huge sample, and there's people who know a lot more about it than me.
Right.
But mine, without exception, none of them were abused.
As kids,
they were not abused. They were spoiled. One after another, they were spoiled. And Jeffrey Dahmer is a perfect example of that. And there's clips of Jeffrey Dahmer that you can see on YouTube where he's hanging out with his parents. His dad was, like, by all accounts, I believe, a very nice man. And I'm no expert on the Dahmer case, but he was with his parents as an adult, and he's talking about popping into McDonald's and getting a burger, and really what he was doing is he's eating all the people that he was bringing home and murdering. But he was, Ted Bundy's another one. Ted Bundy wasn't abused as a kid. Alcala was not abused as a kid. One after another, they're spoiled and they're entitled and they get off on it. And that's why they do it. They do it because they like it. And, he took it to another level because Dahmer, of course, was eating his victims. And then there's that horrific scene with the police officers that one of those guys got out. I think he was Lau or maybe Ty. But he would pick up these young men in the gay community of Milwaukee. And there was one of them that escaped. And Jeffrey Dahmer came out after him. It's a horrific – it's the worst part of the whole story.
What happened?
And he came out and he – there were two police officers. And the man got to the police and he was physically – he appeared to be intoxicated. And that's because Dahmer had already gotten to him and fed him the drugs or hit him on the head or whatever it was. And he came out and he's like, it's my boyfriend. I'm so sorry to bother you guys. And the police let Dahmer take him away and he murdered him and ate him.
Oh.
And those poor officers that's a life-changing event because they had one of the worst serial killers in history. I mean, Netflix is coming out with a movie now about it.
Yeah, this is it. Yeah.
And they could have caught him that night, and
that's
they didn't.
What
and it, but they really, it was a bad.
And also, Jeffrey Dahmer was what years, like?
What years?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I'm not even sure.
Because I was thinking, like, I think also being that there was the homosexuality element that he was, like, going after these young guys and – and also that people couldn't be held. Same thing with the other serial killer, the Gacy.
Oh, John Wayne Gacy.
Yeah,
right, sure.
Kind of similar in that, like, the time in history where you didn't have phones. And so if someone went missing or they were kind of like under the radar or just like, kind of a grifter or working on a construction site here or there, like, these guys would go missing, and because they're also guys, I don't think, like, their loved ones were, like, as panicked when they went missing. all of it, it's just like...
It's really sad. And I'll tell you what, it's we were talking last time about types of murders, how like mm-hmm. a baby death is a very different type of murder than a gang murder, which is different than a serial killer, which is different right. than a conspiracy for money, which is different than domestic violence. They're all very, very different. But Laguna Beach is one of my cities. And, you know, there's a very thriving gay community in Laguna Beach. And one of the things that you'd see, especially in the 70s and 80s, when there was that sort of inherent bias against the gay community, mm-hmm. you would see these older, straight-acting gay men that would roll these younger men home, and they would get robbed. And they these guys would go home because these older men were they were guaranteed to put themselves in a position of vulnerability, and they were often unlikely to call the police. Because they didn't want to explain why there was a younger man in their home.
Oh, the young man would steal from the older,
and not
older
just,
rich man.
Yes, and sometimes they would steal, but a lot of times it became these horrifically brutal murders because there would be some sort of like, I don't know, some pathology going on with the killers. And I had a case called Pisarsik that there was yeah. no media on at all, and it was the victim was an IRS agent, and he was closeted. And he brought this very handsome young guy back to his house. And that murder, that crime scene, this is a little graphic, but his ears had been cut off. And he'd been bludgeoned with a champagne bottle and essentially impaled in his rectum with a flashlight. And that's how we found him. And every aunt in Orange County was at that scene. And that poor
every
man.
Ant,
like every the, ant.
Like
yes.
crawling ant?
Yes.
Oh, every I thought you meant like an ant. Like
every ant in Orange County. No, no, no. Every actual ant. And the ear was missing. One of the ears was missing.
You never found it?
No, and I actually think the ants got that ear. But then
How long was it before you found him? Like how long was it since someone had seen him?
Well, it was about a day that until we caught him, and he was using this guy's.
But I mean, when you found all the ants on the guy, like how many days is that of like an exposed
body?
About
a day and a half on that.
Oh, yep. That quick?
He was on the ground level. Yeah. Now ants aren't at every scene, but they sure were at that one. You know, ants. It's like, but there's a bunch of those these older. These older gay men from that era, you know, like they grew yeah. up in the 40s or 50s, you know, and I mean, thank God we've advanced. Because now, I mean, nobody would bat an eye at that now. But,
yeah.
but that scene, and I hope there was no, I really hope for the sake of those officers that there was no, you know, gay bias in that moment. You know, and most cops,
yeah.
like the vast majority of them, I mean, look, some of the best police officers I've worked with in my career. I mean, gay police officers, men and women. But the idea that, I mean, like you talk about reality and being close to reality. Most cops, especially detectives, they're not going to care at all. Their victim is their victim. And that applies really, and this, I hope I don't get any hate on this, but truly, in my experience, they don't care about the race. They don't care about the sexual orientation. It's their victim. And they're going to work it professionally, at least the cops I worked with. And
yeah.
they do not care at all. They want to catch the bad guy.
Right.
You know? But this is – there. I'm sure that scene's going to be in there, and it's heart-wrenching. So because one of those
right.
guys – and then he went on to kill, I think, a whole bunch of additional people after that. And, yeah.
Crazy.
I
yeah.
looked it up, and Dahmer was in the late 70s and 80s.
Late okay. 70s,
yeah.
early 80s,
so same time period.
Dirty John.
Dirty
still,
John.
Still our favorite. Changed dating for – women all over the world. Everybody thinks that they could be dating a Dirty John. Their mom might be dating a Dirty John.
Yeah. Well, this was my case, as you know. And number one, how awesome is Eric Bana? I got so starstruck.
Listen, when he was making Connie Britton those smoothies
yeah.
and his scrubs, his one outfit, I'm yeah. like, I can see. I yeah. can see how she was hooked.
In case there is and Connie Britton was amazing in that. And,
yeah.
and for this case, I think it's got 40 million downloads for the podcast alone.
Oh yeah, of course.
I
yeah.
got all the sliders I could eat at the premiere was
yeah.
my was what I got out of that. But yeah, that was one where it was, for those who don't know it, and this is kind of a spoiler alert, I guess.
I think everyone knows that that's listening to
yeah,
Juicy Scoop.
Yeah, this is such an awesome case. So Newport brings it to me, and it's a homicide. So I've got to review it and make sure that it's legit. And it's this woman meets him online, and he's a total hustler. And he went from woman to woman, and he's a complete psycho. And he presented himself as first as a doctor, and he was a nurse anesthetist that had been defrocked or unlicensed or whatever it's called, because he was stealing drugs from the emergency rooms. And the way he did it was horrific. Like, he was actually taking drugs from the patients he was supposed to be administering to. So they had less anesthesia, like a horrible human being in every way. And he had been getting gradually more aggressive, gradually more psycho. And he meets this woman in Newport Beach. She's very wealthy with two daughters. And he just cooks up this scheme when things fall apart with them to kidnap and murder one of the daughters. And she was coming back to her apartment in Newport, walking her dog Cash. And I bonded with Cash. And he hops out of a van, because there's got to be a van, right? And he's got a whole murder kit in there, including duct tape, you know, zip ties, you know, restraints. And that scenario ends one way. It ends with some poor girl in a ditch or in a field. Like, that's the way that ends every time, except this time. So she fights. Cash, the dog, bites him. He drops the knife, and the victim picks the knife up and stabs him in the eye because she watches Walking Dead kills him in completely legit self-defense. So Chris Godford is a buddy of mine that I'd worked with for years. I mean, buddy, like somebody that – he worked for the LA Times, and I knew him, and we'd done a bunch of cases
together. I did an
together.
Interview with him before the show came out.
Yeah, he's great.
Because
he's
I loved great. His other story, which I thought was going to be made into a show. He did another long piece about a mom who got angry with a school teacher.
Oh, Easter. Teacher. Yeah, Easter. My buddy Christoph prosecuted that. Yes.
I'll tell you what I remember, and you can help with that one. But like, basically, this husband and wife had a child at a school, and they went to go pick up the child, and the teacher said something like, "Oh, he's coming. He's just a little slow." And they interpreted that as, "You're calling our kid slow," not like, "He's a little slow gathering his jacket," whatever. And they went out to destroy this woman's life.
Right. And they planted drugs in her car.
Yeah.
And there was a second incident too, where the mom came up to pick up her child, and the child was waiting on the curb. And mom got super upset about that. Her husband was a very successful attorney. She was also, I think, an attorney, I want to say, but wasn't practicing. Mm-hmm. And she was very beautiful. It's like this really good looking kind of quintessential Orange County couple. And she hatched this plot to have her husband plant drugs in the teacher's car. And it was a complete setup. And she was just that. That was one of those. And then it turns out in that investigation that she was sleeping with like a fireman that worked in the, I think, down the street or something like that. Like, she was
right. She was also having an affair, even though she and her husband acted like they were so on the same page to destroy this teacher.
Yeah,
she was cheating as well.
Her husband was what's the word without me anybody getting too offended? I believe a cuckold would be the word.
I don't even know that word.
Cuckold? No.
What does that mean?
A cuck? It means that he's basically like he's just a completely beaten down man. His wife is cheating on him, and he basically went along with it. You know, that was, you know, so one of my best friends in the office, Christoph, who just got elected to the bench, he's hysterical, but he tried that. And
Do you know what happened?
Oh, yeah. They made a deal with her and then prosecuted him. He planted the drugs. The husband planted the drugs. So he was convicted of that.
Even though she probably convinced him to do it. So he lost his law license.
Yep.
And then do you know if they did time? Do you remember?
She didn't. I don't think she did any time, but he did. He did. I mean, he faced massive life-changing consequences for his involvement in that. And I think that's one of those that it's there's a lot of people in that believed, you know, that she was pulling all the strings. And that poor teacher. But again.
So bizarre. And I remember when I was interviewing the writer of the LA Times of that article, he goes, out of all the things I've written, he goes, why do you think that one was so resonated with so many? I'm like, just as like a mom ever dealing with like other weird mothers that are like so entitled and so like not my child. And I mean, it was just so bizarre.
Totally psycho. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, and like, but the idea that she could think that they could get away with that, you know, and they almost did. They almost, I mean, they almost destroyed this poor woman's career, who made one offhand comment. And look, I don't have any kids. So, but living in Manhattan Beach, there are some, I mean, I have friends' wives who are insane when it comes to that sort of thing. Like, there's
about
no,
their, yeah, yes, not my kid, kids, yeah, and like just kids. Such an ego
but,
about it.
But Dirty John was, I mean, it's cautionary online dating, right? I think that we should do a podcast one day on things that I saw in the homicide unit where people met their killers online dating. I mean, Dirty John was just one of them, and it was the craziest story.
But do you think in that had, like, I wonder, you know, obviously he was someone that had done crime his whole life. He was, people that know the story, they flash back to him as a child, and the dad kind of, like, had him jump in front of a car and put glass in the food, like a, you know, little glass in his food so that they could sue the Mexican restaurant. Or
for,
like,
John Meehan?
Yeah, when he was a kid, he had all this weird stuff. He kind of grew up in, like, with a really bad example of a father. And then he kind of was doing all these things, but yet he was really smart. He became, you know, passed the boards to be a nurse anesthesiologist and all this. And then knew a lot legally, where he would, like, harass people and sue them or have them just fold and be like, fine, like, yeah, here's 10,000, right. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if the plan had gone his way, would he have maybe just kidnapped her to try to get.
See, the problem is, and this is something that
and you never know, yeah. But I'm just saying, like, I kind of wonder if, because it was so, kind of so out of character that he'd gone. But right. Then also, I know people graduate to worse crimes.
They get worse and worse. He's getting more and more desperate. And I spent a lot of time with the guys at Newport, guys including a couple of excellent female detectives in that crew. And this is my De Leon group. This is my McLaughlin group. These are seasoned, really good detectives. And we roundtabled out a bunch. And the conclusion we reached is that he was going to kill her. And it's because she knew him. She knew who he was. There's no way that he can kidnap her, and she didn't like him. It's not mm-hmm. like she owed him nothing. So it's she would have no incentive not to immediately call the police. He was going to kill her, you know. And when you look, he had the knife, and it wound up being the knife that you know she used to stab him in the eye. And she watches Walking Dead. That's how you kill a zombie. Picks up the knife and kills the zombie. I mean, that never. It's such a happy ending. In a dark sort of way, but
right.
But that's, you know, there's, I mean, online dating is it's the thing, especially post COVID,
right?
And those guys are out there. I mean, there was the Tinder swindler that was recently out, but there are certain things that people could look for very early on, I think, and especially women, to spot that controlling sort of nightmare. And I think it's a spectrum, right? You've got, like, the insecure, jealous guy on one end, which composes a freakishly, embarrassingly high percentage of men. But then on the other side, you've got, like, psycho killers like this, right? And mm-hmm. I think it really is, like, you know, that controlling guy that doesn't want you to hang out with your friends, the one, you know, you get into, like, the domestic violence scale, you know, the cycle of violence and all that. And it's all parts of the same sort of thing, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. Well, let's talk about your show. Let's plug your show for right now. You're doing The Fatal Flaw, right?
So this is Fatal Flaw. I'm hoping, fingers crossed, when I was driving over here, they're going to do a season two.
Great.
So this is on
Hulu.
Yep, it's on Hulu. So this is it's a project by a man named David Sloan at ABC, who I think is a genius. And essentially, they're taking 2020 episodes and looking at it in sort of a new angle. Like, what was the mistake that the killer made? Which is awesome for me, because as a prosecutor, that's all we did is, like, where is the mistake that they made, and can I make the case based on it? And there was a woman in the 50s who was one of the original true crime fans, who had a whole bunch of money, who built these dollhouses that were perfect replicas of these murder scenes, and they used that to train detectives in the 1950s. And so David Sloan has sort of resurrected that concept, and they've built these dioramas, these dollhouses, but they're recreations of these murder scenes. And so they use that as a backdrop to retell these stories that are, I had so much fun doing this, and I got to work with Elizabeth Vargas on it, and who's, I think, awesome. And so hopefully we're going to do a season two. It's a lot of fun. And good, interesting stories. And 2020 has such depth for these old cases that they did, like, you know, 10 years ago that
right,
we've all forgotten. And So I would love to do many seasons of it. We all love that stuff.
Yeah. Tell everybody where they can follow you on Instagram and DM you.
Yes.
And tell you that Matt, they want to date you.
Matt Murphy. Is it Matt Murphy's with an S? I screwed this up last time. So they're Matt Murphy Law or Matt Murphy's Law. That's how lame I am on Instagram. As a DA, we can't really have any social media. Or at least
well,
we couldn't back then.
Now you're not, though.
No, now I'm like
it's
a
Matt Murphy Law. No S.
Matt Murphy Law. Okay, Matt Law.
Matt Murphy Law.
Yeah. Now I'm like a teenager because I've just discovered Instagram in February. And I'm making all the mistakes. But yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Well, good. Everybody check out that. Follow Matt. Thank you. Always
Thank
fun
you so
and
much.
Juicy to talk to you.
I hope we
you.
Do it again.
Absolutely.
We should do dating pitfalls on online, I think.
You're still single, right?
I am still single.
Okay. Yeah. Girls, be careful.